And now it's time for Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. For the next 2 hours, join Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, Corey Sandin, and this week's special expert guest for fishing information, new techniques to catch more fish, and the most current scoop on what's happening in the water. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Royal Polaris, the world's finest long-range sports fisher. By Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup, and Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best, Shimano. Get ready for the fastest 2 hours on radio with the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock God Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Good morning, anglers, and welcome to Let's Talk Hookup. I'm Pete Gray with Rock God Rick Mexa. We're in the world headquarters of Let's Talk Hookup here right next to the San Diego Landings and the Searcher here in Point Loma. And we have the entire crew of the Searcher here. Well, not the entire crew, but the head honchos, right? Captains Art Taylor, Mike Totter, and Josh Evans are here. We're going to be talking some searcher fishing here and a whole lot more, so you stay tuned. This is Southern California's Sport Fishing Voice. It's Let's Talk Hookup and on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Inside information is everything when it comes to catching fish in Southern California. You need a code group to connect with what's happening on the water. FishDope.com is your code group. Inside information available at your fingertips 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. FishDope.com really does help you catch more fish and burn less fuel. FishDope.com is the only fish finding service with a spotter plane, along with a crew of top anglers on the water almost every day that report actual locations and catches. They become your code group. You get daily catch reports from Point Conception to San Quintin, 365 days a year. FishDope.com has online planning tools, temperature and chlorophyll charts, hot bite icons, and more. Take it from me, if you don't have FishDope.com, you're not part of the in-the-know crowd. Membership is affordable and good for an entire year. Plus, use the special code and save $30 on a new FishDope.com membership. Check it out today. FishDope.com. Catch more fish, burn less fuel. In San Diego, the future belongs to everyone. So Ford engineered the truck of the future for everyone, the Ford F-150, available with a pro-power onboard generator. What a great addition for anglers. There's also a variety of cab configurations for whatever you need to haul. The truck of the future isn't created for just a few. It's created for us who love the ocean and the outdoor life. Ford F-150. Test drive one at your local San Diego County Ford dealer today. They'll be glad to hook you up.
Season long-range fishermen know that the Red Rooster 3 is the finest fishing vessels in terms of technology, design, speed, comfort, and safety. This 105-foot sport fishing yacht meets every demand for comfort while delivering an unforgettable fishing vacation. Captain Andy Cate and crew are experienced, friendly, and sincere in their desire to help you have the trip of a lifetime. Book a trip on the Red Rooster 3, and you'll be back. Trips go fast. So check RedRooster3.com or call Lee Palm Sport Fisheries at 619-224-3857.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup, man. Today's gonna be a fun day. You're not kidding. We got the team in here today.
Team, the Searcher team, Team Searcher. Good morning, Art Taylor.
Morning, Pete. Morning, Rick.
Mike, Josh. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning. Great to have you guys. All right, so transition time, right, with Team Searcher.
Yeah. We're in the process. In the process.
Yeah.
Been going well. And
yeah.
We're you know, one foot in front of the other every day and making progress. Mike and Josh are doing a great job with taking care of the boat. Celia's still in the office, and you know, we're hoping that by springtime, after the fishing season gets rolling, that the transition will be complete and we can retire.
Yeah, fully retire, right? Yeah. You're kind of partial retire now.
Partial retire.
What's it like, Mike and Josh, being owners of this of a legendary boat like the Searcher, huh? Man.
It's you have a when Art started, you have to. I'm trying to put it this way. He has a very high standard, and so in order to hold that is a very, very.
It's a challenge.
It's a challenge.
Yeah.
But you have to, he did everything right. So you just have to make sure you continue that goal of what he wanted to achieve.
Sure. Totally. And now, how long have you been on the boat, Josh?
Just 2 years.
2 years.
And
Mike,
season.
Mike, how long have you been on the boat?
I think it's my seventh year.
Seventh year.
Yeah.
So you guys have been there for a while. You know the operation, right?
Yeah, I got a Yeah, we have a good idea, especially.
I hope so.
Got a good idea on how to run.
Yeah.
And you pretty much, I mean, Art, you're really not running the boat anymore, right?
No, I haven't ran the boat. I didn't run the boat at all last year because of health reasons. And the year before that, I was Mike's relief captain.
Uh-huh.
And so, yeah, I'm done running the boat.
Yeah. Yeah. So you going to do any relief or no?
Probably not.
Probably not. Mike's going, okay. Yeah. So, Mike, tell us about your crew and you got to have a relief captain, right? Now, Josh, are you licensed captain also?
No, I worked on the Indy for 5 years, and then I just didn't get the license until I have to now.
Yeah. Oh, you have to now?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So you're going to school now?
Yeah.
Yeah, to get that license.
Yeah.
All right. As another backup. But you have other licenses on the boat with you, Mike, right?
Yeah, we do. And our crew's it's a great core group of guys. That yeah. Most of which have been there for, a few years. A few years, 5 years or more. And it's a great core group of guys. And last year, since Art could come and run relief and all, we had Jason, who just sold the Pegasus last year, came and helped me fill in and run the boat when I needed to get off the boat. So we're planning on having him come back and do the same next year. So
that's cool. Great.
We got a great group of guys.
Hey, you guys have had so little turnover in terms of crew for such a long time.
Yeah, yeah. As long as I've been there, it's been similar group of guys. So
that's cool.
Yeah, no, it's
good stuff. And what great fishing last year, huh?
Yeah.
That was a pretty good year to own a boat, right,
yeah.
Josh and Mike?
Yeah.
Pretty good year to start, right?
Yeah, yeah.
As long as you don't like sleeping.
Yeah.
And long sleep isn't a big thing of yours.
That's
a good year.
That's the blue fin.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was kind of some of the highlights of 2023 fishing season aboard the Searcher?
No, man, yeah.
Just the big ones for the most part.
Yeah.
Just getting on the right school when Michael gets on it and you hook up and everyone's together and it's all working in the same place. And
it just
works. Yeah, it flows.
Good weather.
Yeah, good weather too.
You get the combination.
Here, so.
Yeah.
Didn't have much much choppy weather.
Yeah.
Didn't stick out my head right now at least, so it's probably a good
sign. Yeah. Any particular month that was better than the other?
Yeah.
In your thought, in your eyes?
That's hard. You know, it all kind of blends together. It's such a long season, but... Yeah.
It's the bite, I think. When there's a good bite, that's...
Yeah, you know, each, you know...
Each month had a nice...
We talked about that a little bit a couple weeks ago, too, where, you know, the season was fun and that it went through, like, its different phases of really good sinker rig fishing and fly line fishing. And, you know, there was pretty constant night jig fishing. And sometimes it was daytime. And a lot of times it was nighttime. And sometimes it was kiting. And, you know, the year gave us a lot of different things and different grades of fish. And sometimes it bit like gangbusters. And sometimes you picked away at it. And, you never knew kind of what you were going to get. It didn't necessarily change day to day, but it certainly didn't stay the same the whole year.
Yeah. Sounds like fishing to me.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So, one of the things that Art and Seal has started that's super popular are those limited load longer trips, right, Josh?
Yeah, the 14 loads for the most part.
Yeah, 14 people. What's that like? Must be a lot. Now, you're the chef on the boat.
Yes, I am.
And what's it like cooking for 14 guys? A lot easier?
It's the people that are on it are very seasoned anglers. They're they're the people that want to be on a boat. They're nice, and they're not – it's beautiful out
here. Yeah,
it's nice. And everyone appreciates it. And for what they set up, it's a beautiful program.
Sure. And is it hard to get people motivated to get out of the galley and eat Josh's cooking and get on the rail when there's only 14 people, Mike?
Yeah, you know it's kind of a split on those trips. You know, half the guys are just there enjoying their time, and half of them are hardcore about it. So
Red only leaves 7, so
yeah. A lot of room at the rail.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
no, they definitely enjoy it though, and it's very happy. You're very happy. Like, your mind's very happy.
Yeah.
When you see them being all enjoyable. Yeah. They have all the time on the rail. They have all the space and stuff. So it's very nice.
Yeah. And are there availability on any of those fall trips? Those limited, super, ultra limited, what do you call them? Ultra limited.
Ultra limited load.
Yeah. Everybody gets their own cabin. And there may be a little bit of spot, but always, as always, like Art used to always say, right, is get on the phone or get on, send an email to Celia and just get on the list if any trip is full, right?
Yeah, there's a function on the website there that you can get on a wait list.
Oh, absolutely. There actually is. Yeah, so you can actually do it on the website.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, and things change. People book out book so far in advance.
Sure.
Guys get off the boat and rebook, within a couple weeks of returning to the dock, and so it's for next year's trip. So things change. Schedules change. There's health issues. Whatever the reason may be. So if you're on a wait list, at least you have a chance of somebody giving you a call and say, hey, a spot just opened up, do you want to go? And so that if a trip shows that it's full, then there's a way to get on a wait list.
It's not uncommon to see a trip full for 11 months, and then all of a sudden, three weeks before it's time to go, two spots open up, or four spots open up.
Yeah.
A lot of times those ones that are super full, they don't seem to open up until right before it's time to go.
Yeah, for sure. So, Josh, what are some of your favorite dishes preparing here?
I love fish.
Do you like
fish? Yeah, I love grouper, halibut, any type of fish, honestly.
Yeah.
And it's good when they catch it, and you can appreciate what they bring to you. You make it for them, and they're like, oh, I want this recipe, and
I
want to cook it at home and stuff.
That's cool.
I've never had it like that, and that's makes me really happy.
Where'd you learn to be a chef?
I went to culinary school in San Francisco. I worked at Ironside downtown. I worked at Water Grill, Top of the Market.
Wow.
And then after that, the Indy, and then...
Wow.
Yeah. So, it's been fish.
Yeah.
So you cook a piece of fish at least.
Yeah, yeah.
I got that handled.
I don't mess fish up.
Yeah.
So
yeah. That's cool. About.
What's the secret to cooking fish?
Don't overcook it.
Don't overcook it. Yeah.
It's easy. It's safer to undercook it slightly than it is to overcook it.
Yeah.
No matter what.
Yeah. So,
good call.
Yeah.
But is that just a kind of a timing thing? You just have
it's
to kind of get the timing
out? It's timing and it's knowledge in the same thing. Like it's like you have wahoo. And wahoo's a very delicate fish and stuff like that. And when you're cooking for 30 people and stuff like that, you have to make sure you time the fish right.
Uh-huh.
To where it's like, I like high heat. So you sear it on both sides for the wahoo. You can put it in a marinade, just simple one of like thyme, garlic, and pepper. And then sear it on the grill at very high heat. And then throw it in the oven at like 500 for about 5 minutes.
Oh.
And then pull it out and then let it cook through because it doesn't have connective tissues and all that stuff. So it finishes through itself.
Ah, okay.
The heat holds itself.
Wahoo's unique in that way?
Yeah, wahoo's probably one of the hardest fish to cook correctly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because if you overcook it, it gets tough,
oh, yeah,
right?
Then it turns mush.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that done right, it's like the best.
Yeah, it's the best, yeah.
But then done wrong, it's like, man, this is like eating a dish bunch.
Yeah. Some people compare it to barracuda sometimes if you overcook it. But it's all timing and it's delicate.
Yes.
It's the same as fishing, same as everything. It's, you treat it right, and it will treat you right, I guess, in a sense.
So you say finishing it in the oven, and I know my wife, Holly, does a lot of that with fish. Is that a good way to finish fish rather than just
for most,
a safer way to cook fish and not overcook it?
For most standard fine dining, you will finish your fish in a high 500-degree oven, and you pull it out correctly within timing, but it's super quick, usually within 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And you can baste your fish, too, but since we're boats, we're not allowed to have open flames. It's really hard. We don't have multiple burners.
Uh-huh.
So, there's variables when it comes to boat you know, long-range fishing, I mean, long-range boats compared to being at your house.
Yeah.
So it's there's variables and all that. But one thing is just try not to overcook your fish.
That's good. That's good call.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you have to be a master chef in so many ways in a moving galley, right? It's more challenging than searing something at the top of the market there.
Yeah, sometimes it's like an earthquake, but you know, you get through it.
Yeah.
Wow. Smile on your face and wave.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And you have a lot of happy people on the at the table there for sure.
That's your goal.
Yeah.
That's your goal.
That's cool. Well, as you can hear, we have a great show lined up for today. Lots to talk about with the captains and chef and the Searcher Sport Fishing. Talk to Mike and Josh and all the projects they're doing now while they're getting ready for their big whale season coming up.
Yeah.
A lot going on.
And like you said, and obviously all the great fishing we had and gear and the whole nine is going to be a very busy show, as is shown by the phones already packed up. Only two lines still available if you want to get through this morning. That's 213-432-1090. If you want to call in, talk to Josh, talk to Mike, talk to Captain Art, 213-432-1090 is how you reach us on the phones this morning. Or you can text the show. Texts are already starting to roll through. The only way you can text in your questions to Let's Talk Hookup is through that Let's Talk Hookup app. It's a free download, easy to get. Not only can you text in all your questions, also you can listen to all the archive shows. You can catch up on all the past info, a great way to listen to Let's Talk Hookup, and again, the only way to text in your questions. Also, make sure when you do text a question that you include your contact info, because if you win that big prize at the end of the show today, we want to make sure to get it to you, just your name and phone number along with your text, because we are giving away a great prize, because one lucky caller or texter at the end of the show today is going to win a $125 reel blueprint service from our friends Cal and Eric up at Cal's Custom Built Reels. So a really cool opportunity, $125 service certificate for one lucky caller or texter. The way we'll decide that at the end of the show, we're going to have Mike flip a prize coin, and that's going to designate whether the winner comes from the caller side or the texter side. Again, give us a text to the Let's Talk Hookup app or give us a call. Two lines open before we get started, 213-432-1090. When we come back, we're going to be taking your phone calls. Lots of great info coming your way. You stay tuned. You're listening to Southern California's Sport Fishing Voice. This is Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Countdown to spring with exhilarating deals on new Yamaha outboards during Yamaha's Power and Performance Sales Event. From now until March 31st, 2024, purchase a new eligible Yamaha 450 to 30 horsepower outboard and get up to 7 years of warranty protection and a Siren 3 Pro package to your purchase of a 115 horsepower and up, and receive a bonus $1,000 in dealer credit and half off your Siren subscription. Looking for lower horsepower? Yamaha's got you covered. Purchase a new Yamaha 25 to 2.5 horsepower outboard and receive up to $2,000 in dealer credit. Reliability starts here. Couple rates March 31st, 2024. Subject to change. Other restrictions and conditions apply. Select models excluded. 24-month Yamaha extended service added, a 36 or 60-month factory limited warranty. Choice offered to Florida residents is a 24-month Yamaha limited warranty. See authorized participating Yamaha outboard dealers for details. Cannot be used with any other Yamaha offer.
Long range fishing, nothing beats Shimano. Hi, this is Doug Kern from Fisherman's Landing Tackle, the saltwater tackle professionals. Come check out the Shimano Talica, the pinnacle of lever drag two-speed reels. The Talica features Shimano's Hagani body. When throwing jigs, the Shimano Trinidad is your top choice. With the extreme cranking power and Shimano Super Free Spool provides extreme castability, you'll be able to put your jig in the Wahoo zone. For all your Shimano needs, visit us at Fisherman's Landing Tackle at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego. The name that stands out among anglers is Fisherman's Landing, your top choice in local and long-range fishing. We offer the finest open party trips from 1 to 3 days, the best charter boats available, and of course, our world-renowned long-range fleet. Fisherman's Landing offers half-day trips on the Dolphin and full-day trips on the Liberty. Many trips can be easily booked online at fishermanslanding.com. I'll see you at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
Hey, this is Rosie with Cedros Sport Fishing. We have always been the leader in fishing trips to Cedros Island. We have set the bar even higher with our second lodge opening for the 2022 season. Side-by-side lodges sitting on the cliff's edge with relaxing ocean views. With direct flights departing to the CBX in San Diego, we are committed to providing first-class service to our guests and an unforgettable fishing experience. Come check out the yellowtail and calico bass capital in the world. Nobody does it better than Cedros Sport Fishing. Call me at 619-772-7570 or check us out at cedrosportfishing.com.
It's time for the PowerPro 30-second seminar. I like catching big fish, and I like smaller reels, too. How do I make sure that I have the capacity to land the big one? I fill my reels with PowerPro Max Quattro. It's 25% thinner than standard PowerPro, so you get more line on that small reel. PowerPro has a complete series of highly effective lines, including the brand-new PowerPro Depth Hunter Offshore, with different colors every 100 feet, perfect for flatfall fishing. Want to learn more? Check PowerPro.com.
This is Michael from The Hall Show. If you are fly curious, join us in the fly fishing section where you can learn about fresh and saltwater fly fishing, take a free casting lesson, tie a fly, and see our great vendors, seminars, and demonstrations. Yes, you can fish salt on the fly.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Having a great time here this morning talking fishing with Team Searcher. Again, if you want to get through, we have one line left open. That's 213-432-1090. Already a pile of great texts coming through on that Let's Talk Hookup app.
And let's jump in the phones, Rick.
You got it, man. How about we start this morning with Mike. Mike's calling us from San Clemente this morning. Good morning, Mike. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup, and thanks for getting us started.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Hey, I got a question for Art. What's the ideal setups to take on a three-day trip?
Ideal setups? Well, you want to have a minimum of four outfits. You definitely have to have an 80- or 100-pound outfit for fishing at night with a big two-speed reel and a rail rod, so make sure you have that. And then, you know, you want another two-speed outfit with 50 or 60 pounds, so fishing during the day with sinker rigs is sometimes that's a very important outfit to have. And then, you know, a 25 and a 40-pound outfit, so a minimum of four outfits. Just make sure you have that two-speed reel and heavy tackle for fishing at night with knife jigs. It's that's something that is going to, you know, give you a better chance of landing something.
Yeah, for sure.
Mike, where do you, like, draw the line on, you know, the bigger the reel, you know, bigger the tackle, the easier it is to, you know, catch a 150, 200-pound fish, but, you know, the little bit smaller, fit in your hand better, easier it is to fish with all night? Like, where's the sweet spot for, like, a knife jig, you know, your big outfit, though? You know, your hopes of catching a 200-pound bluefin on the Searcher, what's the right size rig to fish with, you know, knife jigging at nighttime?
What I use when I'm you know, running all the wheel offs and drop a lure down, I use one of our kite reels. You know, it's a 50 wide accurate ATD 50, but I'm not at the rail all night doing it over and over again. So I you know, like one of those, like a 30 size reel or a 16 size reel, depending on how, you know, like you said, lugging it around. But, you know, when you're fishing the lure all night, you can just put it on the rail and turn the handle, just like when you're winding one in. So, you know, a 30 size reel, I'd say, with,
as long as it's a two-speed reel.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's exactly what I meant. Like, you know, that there's no doubt if you attach yourself to that fish with a 50, it's going to be physically easier on you to wind it in than a 16, no doubt. But fishing with a 50 all night long, that's tougher than it is fishing with a 16. So, you know, finding that, you know, happy medium, like, you got to have the right, you came out there to catch the big one, you know what I mean? So you sure as hell want to, you know, put yourself, like, dealing with big tackle, you know, so be it. So what if it's a little more of a pain in the butt? Like, the whole reason you took your time off of work and you made your investment in your gear and you got on a great boat like the Searcher was to get that big fish. Like, you want to give yourself every opportunity.
Yeah, it's a lot bigger pain in the butt if you're on the wrong tackle. You know, you pay for it later. So
yeah, for sure. Hey, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning.
Great.
Appreciate that very much.
Great one.
Some great text coming through. You have a good one.
I thought so. It says, good morning, guys. 2 hours is definitely not enough time to get all the info out of here. I had a question about bait rod outfits. Is it worth fishing braid to a full spool of fluorocarbon? That way you can avoid the knot going through the guides and cut it back a little bit by time. Or do you like fishing a really short piece? I'm trying to adjust my setups for this year. That's from Rory in Lakeside. So I think he's, yeah, wanting to know if you'd just like to tie in a little piece or just wind on the whole spool at one time.
Me personally, I just put the enough monofilament for, so I can cast, you know. So from that knot to, from your spectra to mono knot to your mono to fluoro knot, enough that you can make it, you know, cast it as far as you can and still have a little bit. So those knots are going through the guide. So I fish with about a 3 or 4 foot piece.
So you like so you're a short piece of fluorocarbon mm-hmm. on a little bit longer piece of mono.
That's it. Yeah.
Casting distance worth of monofilament and a 3 foot piece of fluoro at the end of that.
So 100 feet, something like that, of monofilament.
Yeah.
4 foot piece of fluorocarbon. How are you tying the fluorocarbon to the monofilament?
That's a good question.
I think it's called the Seeger knot.
Seeger knot.
Yeah.
And that
quick
works
and
for
easy.
Pretty much any pound test.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. I've never had a problem with it, and like Rick said, it's like that when you get to tie one.
That Seeger knot doesn't it shouldn't be as good as it is. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
It's too easy, and it holds, man. It doesn't look real nice. It's not one of those like super pretty knots where it's got this beautiful, perfect little barrel to it, and it's three twists, and you pull the line through, and like. You catch a 150-pounder with that, and it's just my only problem. Like, is it just, like we almost hesitate to tie it for guys in the tackle store because it's not a really good looking knot, and you know the guy paid you money to like do this thing, and it's a you know form over function kind of thing. Like that will not let loose, but it doesn't. It's not the best looking thing, but man, it'll sure get the job done, and it's fast.
Yep.
Yeah,
the other
sure.
thing is with mono, then there's, you know, some stretch involved. Mm-hmm. And so with straight braid, you're going to feel every tail beat, and it's punishing. And so that's something to consider.
Sure.
You know, if you're 21 years old and you work out a lot, then go ahead with the straight braid fluorocarbon. But if you're old like me, you want that stretch so that it's a little bit forgiving. It's not as punishing.
Yeah, and also it's not as easy to pull hooks too, right?
Yeah, that's a factor. Yeah, I mean that braid, it's direct. Yeah, so that I would go with, you know, some mono so that there's some of that forgiving stretch.
That boat length of mono sure seems to fish better too. Like it just doesn't seem to, a little bit of mono just doesn't seem to end up in tangles when you're fly lining with guys as much. That straight spectra to a little piece of fluorocarbon, it's a whole lot harder to keep on top of when you're fishing with 25 guys next to you. If the current's not perfect and pulling your bait away, like it's just a lot harder to keep on track of what you're doing.
Yeah, you can stay out of those macrame tangles.
You get to fish much, Josh?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm kind of part of your deal. You got to catch dinner, right?
I'm on the deck quite a lot, actually.
Are you?
Yeah.
Gaffing and getting tangles out and tying knots
getting
and all
better.
That kind of stuff.
Yeah, honestly. Yeah. Michael, make sure I'm out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. If he's doing it, I'm doing it.
Yeah. And then you're in the process of getting your captain's license. Does that mean you're going to be running the boat, too?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still feel like it's okay from that, man.
You're going to be the guy all over the place,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
In the galley.
Yeah. Universal tool.
Yeah.
Tool is a key word.
Nighttime and current and 300 feet and fish going and one eye awake at 1 a.m. has, you know, you made the word macrame, has had to have be the recipe for some of the gnarliest angles that can exist. I can't imagine, like, there has to be some hellacious ones of just everybody fishing in the dark with spectra, with jigs and fish going and hard to see and all the other factors that exist.
There's a picture from the lady strip from a couple years ago of 15 women with their tips in the air and all this spectra coming down and Mike right in the middle with it wrapped around his head.
Every direction.
And, you know, all you can do at that point in time is just cut everybody off and start start over.
Start over.
That's the classic macrame tangle that we had on that Mike had on a lady strip. It was a hilarious picture, but
it's part of it.
It happens.
Yeah, it happens. And when you're fishing with straight braid, then you gotta make sure that you know where your lure is, and you got to know where your bait is, and it's important to stay on top of things so that you can avoid that.
Yeah, you get those days like that night. I remember, you get those nights where there's no wind and no current, and everybody's straight up and down, and you have, in that case, 28 people fishing on both sides of the boat, and everyone's lines are going straight up and down. It's just a recipe.
Jigs are different weights. Yeah. Line scope different one direction. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine.
Make sure the boats stop before they drop them in, sort of thing. So everyone ends up in the corner.
So even at night, you like fishing that shot of mono?
Yeah.
On the jigs?
Yeah, just a little bit, just for the stretch.
Yeah.
You know what that 50 that I fish with, is, we button it down so you can really pull on them, So, just a little bit, just for some stretch.
What's a little bit? Is it 25 feet, same ding, like a boat length amount?
Yeah.
Or?
I mean, not
some.
Much, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, 25 feet or something.
Get some stretch.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Yeah.
And then what about hooks, Mike? I mean, we see in the tackle store, we've seen everything. We've seen 100 hooks hanging off of a knife jig. We've seen one big treble hook and some hooks at the top and some at the bottom. You get to see the best of it. You get to be there to take the hooks out of them, which is like, you're the guy that sees the most effective part. What do you like in terms of guys rigging their knife jigs, in terms of where they put the hooks and...
To two hooks on one side, one end of the lure, and most of that's for safety reasons for the crew and for the other guys. If it's gonna eat it, it's gonna eat it. Mm-hmm. They don't just
they inhale it.
Yeah. So and if you get one hook in the mouth and you got one of these foot long knife jigs and the other one's in a peck fin or something, it comes over, it starts flopping around, and now you got a one-pound...
You have a weapon.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, I don't think I dug any hooks out of people this year, but one, okay?
Yeah.
That's one.
Just one.
Just one.
So I did one this year, I guess. But last year, I think we're getting better at it because it's part of my speech, my safety speech, about the safety of the crew and stuff like that. And so I think guys are starting to listen. And the year before, it was pull them out of someone's hand, almost every week. Oh. Something like that. So,
two hooks, one side. You don't care if it's top or the bottom, but just one side.
Yeah,
I like it.
They're big hooks.
Absolutely.
If the fish is going to bite that lure, then it's going to get.
You're going to get them.
You're going to get them. You don't need five hooks. Yeah.
No need for it.
Cool.
All right, let's jump back on the phone. You want to get through, 213-432-1090.
How about next up, we talk to Dave. He's calling us from Spring Valley this morning. Good morning, Dave. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Good morning, guys. And it's a pleasure to talk to Team Searcher this morning. Before saying something to Mike and Josh, I just want to give a heartfelt thank you to Art. When I started Fishing Searcher just about 10 years ago, I actually won my first trip spinning a wheel in one of those shows and got a day and a half trip on the Searcher. And I actually won the jackpot on that trip as well. So Captain Art showed me a lot of what I needed to do moving forward. It's such a beautiful boat, the accommodations, the food, the crew. I just can't thank you enough, Art, and I'm sorry to see you go, but I welcome Mike and Josh. I just went on a trip this past August, back-to-back day and a half, and those guys, they got it together, I tell you. The food was always great on the Searcher. Now it's just, just a little bit better. Thank you, Josh, for that. And Mike,
thank you.
You, Mike, I tell you, you got to be one of the fishiest captains around. You never quit, man. You're always looking. You'll never stop until you get something for somebody. Thank you for that.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you, Dave.
That's cool. That's
thanks
cool.
for the kind words, Dave.
Nice to hear from you, Dave. Appreciate the call this morning. I have a great text here from Dave in Burbank, and thanks for all the texters. Keep them coming, and a lot of good kudos for Searcher. And said, Happy New Year, Pete and Rick, Art, Celia, and Mike, and the boys. Just wanted to say thank you for memorable trips taken aboard the Searcher. Art, you could leave the Searcher. You couldn't leave the Searcher in better hands than with Mike. His work ethic is not on, if not on the bridge, he's on the deck, ensuring everybody gets their fish. The whole crew makes sure that they have an awesome trip. Shout out to Sean, a.k.a. Monkey, for his devotion and assist anglers aboard. So
that's cool.
That's a lot of texts like that.
Yeah, no doubt.
A lot of calls, a lot of texts, a lot of good information about search.
I had another text that was for Josh. It said, good morning, guys. Josh, my question is, what is your favorite recipe for bluefin tuna?
No.
With all the fish we caught this year, I find it in excess. I'd like a recipe for fresh and also one for frozen.
When it comes to bluefin, there's tataki, there is searing, and there's, you can treat it like a ribeye kind of in a sense. So there's, depends on what you want. So for fresh caught, or you have a good, like, fisherman's processing the way they do it and stuff, when you defrost it in your refrigerator, you can do the hard sear tataki, and then sauces usually accompany it and stuff for the most part, or you could actually do kind of like a harder sear, more cooked through, and kind of just do garlic, salt, pepper. You could add some little bit of smoke essence to it too, to create more of like a ribeye kind of texture to it. And that's if you want to cook it through. But for bluefin, for the most part, I honestly like it seared.
What's the key to searing rare? How do you do it?
Hot pan, and I love clarified butter. To be honest, I don't do it on the boat that much, but in fine dining restaurants, for the most part, if you're eating fish, for the most part, it's clarified butter.
Clarified butter.
Yeah, and yeah. It just has that extra umami flavor, and it has that smoke point. It has one of the highest smoke points compared to any other oil that you have, so it gives a nice sear to it, and it has nice crust, and it adds an extra umami to the tuna.
What's the difference between clarified butter and regular butter?
You don't have milk solids in it.
Oh, okay. So you actually have to buy clarified butter.
Yeah, in markets it's called ghee, I think.
Oh, ghee.
G-H-E. So, yeah.
Okay, ghee.
You can find it that way.
Yeah.
But honestly, it's not the best for you, but it's, if you want your fish to taste the best, that's what you do.
That's the stuff, huh?
Yeah.
And so how do you know when to flip it? I mean, when you have a hot pan, you're cooking in ghee or clarified butter.
Honestly, like a millimeter, I would say, you see the crust kind of starting, and you want to have a nice brown crust to it.
Uh-huh.
And you flip it, probably, I would say, minute on each side tops. It depends. It could be, I would say, 2.5-inch cut.
Uh-huh.
It would probably be, almost 45 seconds on each side.
Yeah.
But
not long.
Yeah, not long.
Yeah.
Not long. And
watch it come up the bottom there.
Yeah, and you let it rest, too. That's also another one you let it rest.
Because it'll keep cooking, right?
Yes, correct.
Yeah. Do you want that, when you put that fish in the pan, do you want it
hot?
Super cold?
Hot, hot, hot.
No, I mean the fish itself. Do you want can it be room temperature? Is it better when it comes right out of the refrigerator?
I honestly, to get the best out of your product, I would let it rest for probably about 30 minutes, probably.
Before you cook it. Okay.
Correct, yeah. Because if it's too cold, then it counteracts the heat with the pan.
Uh-huh.
So I would say let it out for about 30 minutes.
What do you like cooking better, bluefin or yellowfin?
Yellowfin.
Yellowfin?
Yeah.
Why?
I just like yellowfin better.
I do too. I'm with you.
Yeah. That's funny. Hey, if you want to get through, we got an open shot for you right now. 213-432-1090.
All right. You have a good one there, Rick?
It said that when arriving to the landing, guys, my question is, how early do we check in on the day of departure? When would you like us there? Also, do we prepare to get food before? Does Josh usually have something available for us night of departure? Can't wait to come fishing with you guys this summer. What's the check-in procedure like?
A couple hours before departure time minimum. You know, you want to get in the lot, get a parking spot, get your gear, get in line, and then check in at least a couple hours before departure minimum.
Especially in the summertime.
Especially in the summertime, yeah. Yeah, the whole parking thing, it's... It's a process, so you need to allow yourself some extra time for that. Yeah, absolutely. And if you're leaving, if you're, you know, typically the boat's going to leave between 10 and 11 in the morning, and so Josh or whoever's cooking is going to have lunch for you. And that usually takes place, you know, either during the bait, at the bait receivers or right after or something like that. So you're going to have lunch. So you don't really need a meal before you get on the boat. If you're going on a day and a half trip, then, you know, you're going to get served dinner that evening.
Because it goes to part like at 6 p.m.
Between, you know, it's 4 and 5. Between 4 and 5.
You guys leave a little early.
Yeah, so you don't need to get a meal before you before departure.
Okay.
Cool. Hey, when we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. More of your phone calls, more of these great text messages. You stay tuned. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Summer is here, and gas prices are going up, up, up. So now more than ever, you need Summit Gasoline at the San Diego Sports Arena. Pull up to the newly expanded Summit Gasoline and get low, low gas and diesel prices for your car, truck, and boat. They can now accommodate 24 cars and trucks to fuel at the same time, plus 12 diesel boats, plus 100 pounds of free ice with a minimum 35-gallon fill-up. Easy in and out, too. Step into the Summit Bistro and enjoy what Martha and her crew have for you on things you can use. Fresh-made burritos, sandwiches, salads, along with beer, beverages, and, of course, always free ice. So many Let's Talk Hookup listeners have taken advantage of Summit Gasoline's low prices, great service, and free ice. They've become the largest seller of fresh gourmet ice in Southern California. Summit also sells frozen bait and fishing licenses 24 hours a day. Summit Gasoline, low prices, friendly staff, free ice, and easy in and out with your boat and trailer at the San Diego Sports Arena.
Hey, it's time to talk about great gear from Shimano, and I got to tell you, those new G Lumis rods, Intra Pro rods,
IMX Pro,
the IMX Pro, that rail rod is amazing.
I mean, like you said, they did a great job. Kind of perfect blend between super ultra lightweight, very comfortable to hang on to, but lots of power, really nice components. Yeah. They nailed it. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, super high, like you said, super high quality components. And the weight, you match that with a Talica, and you have like a incredibly powerful system to land big fish that doesn't weigh a lot.
And the whole rods were built this year with our style of fishing in mind.
Right.
It's not a
West Coast built.
Yeah, and it's not a rod, you know, that was adapted that, you know, the way we fish now is utilizing, you know, rail rod techniques. The rods have longer forward grips and they have a little bit longer rear grip, so it fits comfortably under your arm, and you can rest the forward grip on the rail without tearing up the rod. Like, everything was built for the style of fishing that we do now. They were designed and made, you know, this year for what we do. They nailed it. They're really nice rods.
The new G Lumis IMX Pro Offshore. Check it out at your local Shimano G Lumis dealer.
As the inventor and world leader in fluorocarbon, Seaguar has you covered with 4-liter choices to help you catch more fish. Gold Label is Seaguar's thinnest and strongest leader. Fluoro Premier has a thin diameter with high break strength and softness. Blue Label is tough as nails with incredible abrasion resistance and impact strength. And Pink Label is the choice for tough light conditions. From 2 pounds to 400 pounds, pick up a full of Seaguar at your favorite tackle dealer or visit Seaguar.com.
Turner's Outdoorsman, Southern California's number one shooting, hunting, and fishing tackle retailer since 1971, is right in your neighborhood. Now with stores throughout Southern, Central, and Northern California. No one does it better. Turner's Outdoorsman brings you the best prices and selection, plus a knowledgeable staff that will help make your day on the water or in the field more fun. Stop by your neighborhood Turner's Outdoorsman. To find a location nearest you, check the web at turners.com and sign up for special deals and more.
Hi, this is Bill Varney, and when I'm not surf fishing, I'm at California's premier outdoor recreation shows. The Bard Hall Shows, January 25th through 28th at the Long Beach Convention Center, and February 15th through the 18th at the Del Mar Fairgrounds. Details at hallshows.com.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Having a great time here this morning talking fishing with Team Searcher. Want to remind you this portion of the show sponsored in part by Terrafin Sea Surface Temperature Charts. Focus your fishing in the most productive areas by using Terrafin Sea Surface Temperature, chlorophyll, currents, and more. Well, with Terrafin Mobile, you can now access your charts on your phone or any mobile device. Check Terrafin.com for more information. Always say the same thing. I don't think there's a more important tool than having a water chart. I'm sure, Mike, I doubt you go on many trips without having an up-to-date water chart, you know, before you leave the dock.
No, yeah, it's
gotta have it.
Gotta have it.
That is important as they come,
for sure. Hey, Dave in Burbank sent us a text here. It says, or excuse me, not David, Stephen Fallbrook sent us a text. We already did Dave's in Burbank. Said, good morning, all. Question for Josh. A lot of questions, a lot of cooking questions for Josh. What is your favorite way to prepare grouper, and what would complement that fish as a side dish?
As a side dish,
yeah, it's grouper's usually, tough.
It's usually grouper's beautiful. Grouper is probably my favorite.
Is it really?
Yeah, but it's another delicate. It's grouper to me is like Alaskan halibut, kind of in a sense. It depends on the size too. Really like pankoing it, in a sense, you know, because you have that crust on it, and again, that's that heat that you have around it, and it finishes through for the most part. But again, it goes. You can do the grill, do a hard sear. I like marinating it in thyme, garlic.
How long's the marinade?
30 minutes tops.
That's all.
Because it saturates it pretty quickly. There's not a lot, not a lot of connective tissues, but again, it's that hard cook, hard sear, and then my favorite thing is the oven, finishing it off because it holds that continuous heat around it. You're not beating it up too much, and then pull it out, let it rest, and it's the best fish you've ever had.
Yeah, there you go.
And again, don't overcook it, right?
Don't overcook it.
But that's one of the hardest things for me.
It's easier to, if you undercook it slightly, you can throw it back in the oven for another minute, and it's back to where you wanted it.
You're better.
Yeah.
Better off doing it.
Yeah, it's better. Yeah, better than having, everyone's overcooked fish.
Yeah.
It's that mushiness. You could beat that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the hardest, I find it harder to cook like grouper or halibut or something like that to the right temperature because you don't want
to. Because there's also a touch feel to it too.
Oh, is there?
Yeah, it's a like instead of steaks you have that. It's if you have a bounce back to it, it's pretty much cooked, which
it's
is
cooked.
Great.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So if it's soft and you feel it and your finger goes kind of through it,
it's not quite cooked.
But when it actually has a bounce to it, then it's cooked.
A lot like cooking a steak, then.
Yeah, medium rare steak is
a medium rare steak.
Okay, that would be
good stuff.
There you go.
People ask me all the time, you know, how do you know that when to, you know, take it off of the heat? And
right.
I always tell people, if you have the thought that I wonder if I should be taking it off, you need to take it off.
Take it off.
Because if you go, no, maybe it's going to be a little bit long, maybe I should leave it on there a little bit longer, well, then you've overcooked it. So if you have that thought, maybe I should take it off, you should take it off.
Biggest problem with fish, overcooking.
Correct. Absolutely, yeah.
It destroys the fish.
It's a piece of meat that you can eat raw, so there's no, you know, like, you're better off to yank that thing off.
For sure.
And clarified butter.
that's a good. Yeah, I always, you know, my wife Lolly uses ghee, and I didn't know that was the same thing as clarified butter. Yeah. So that's interesting, yeah. All right.
Well, the phones are packed up. Everybody wants to talk to the boys. If you want to get your shot, again, not only to talk to the team from the Searcher, but also your shot to win that $125 gift certificate to Cal's Custom Built Reels, 213-432-1090 is your opportunity. Let's talk to Hills calling us from Ventura this morning. Good morning, Hills. Welcome to Let's Talk Hook Up.
Good morning, guys. I have a question for Captain Art. With your knowledge about the nature, like the nature tours, that thing, and all the thousands of animals, did you happen to like go to school for that, or is that just your years on the water to have that knowledge?
It's all just doing multiple trips, lots and lots of days on the water. I don't have a college degree, and it's all just hands-on, real-time, viewing wildlife in Baja California. It's one of the most prolific places on Earth as far as the amount of different things that you can see and just time on the water. That's it, time on the water.
That's Okay, time on the water. Okay, time on the water, Mike and Josh, you've spent a lot of time on the water. Are you, when you do these whale trips coming up here in February aboard the Searcher, have you learned from the master here?
He's way better than
that. It's like, hey, there's a whale. Can you tell which one, which whale that is?
Yeah. Spent enough time working, you know, with Art, and then, you know, when I started running those trips, and all the other times on the water, you know, when you're fishing, you see lots of whales. And
200 day plus years going up and down.
You start to see
those,
start to identify. That's a,
when you see a RBTV, the red-billed tropic bird, that's always a big one too. There's, you know, finbacks and Brutus whales and all those beaked whales and
sperm whales and all kinds of stuff. You see a lot of stuff on those. What's the most unusual thing you've seen on those whale trips?
Well, we were at Benedicto and we saw that giant manta ray, and that was probably the sickest, the coolest thing I've ever saw. It was like a 2,000-pound manta ray.
2,000-pound.
Yeah, it was giant off of Benedicto, and there's a volcanic, they call it the golf course or whatever, off of Benedicto, and it was a straight drop off, and then just this manta ray just comes out of nowhere.
Wow.
Yeah, that was cool.
Wow. What about you? What's the coolest thing you've seen on the water?
Probably lunge feeding blue whales in the Gulf, you know, 10 or dozen of them all around the boat.
Really? All around the boat? Blue whales?
Yeah.
Wow. The largest creature on Earth.
Yeah.
Surrounding the boat.
It's pretty,
as big as the boat, right?
Yeah.
What about you, Art?
Whoa.
Yeah.
Too many.
Years.
Too many. The close encounter with a gray whale in Laguna San Ignacio is probably tops on my list. It's just, you're close up and personal with a 50-ton animal that with, you know, one flick of the tail could just destroy the panga and everybody in it, and they're curious, and
this is the gray whales inside the
gray whales in Laguna San Ignacio. Yeah. Is probably tops for me. That just never gets old.
Really?
Never gets old. I've been doing those trips since 1976, and that is by far my favorite place.
Yeah. And when you guys do whale trips, you go inside the lagoon, and then
We spend 2 days in there. Inside. Yep, it's part of the itinerary. Wow. And those trips were based on coinciding with the gray whale migration. So it's they're trips of a lifetime.
Very popular, right?
Yeah, if you haven't been to Baja California on some sort of trip to watch whales, then it should be on your list if you're into whales and wildlife. Baja California has really got a lot to offer.
And how long are the trips?
12 days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you're stopping along the way?
Down the Pacific side of the peninsula, cool. And then a day around the tip of Baja watching humpbacks, and then up into the southern Sea of Cortez, and then the trip terminates in Cabo San Lucas, so you fly home from there.
That's cool.
And you see a huge variety of whales and birds.
Whales, dolphin, bird, seals, hiking, snorkeling. I mean, it's the variety of the activities is unmatched as far as I'm concerned.
People come from all over the world to go on those.
Yeah, mm-hmm. from all over the world, and primarily from the UK. There's a lot of people that come from the UK.
Yeah. Mike, what's it like running trips like that versus a fishing trip? Different types of, different clientele, right?
Yeah, different clientele, different type of stress.
Yeah, different type of stress. Wait a minute. What's the stress in chasing whales versus chasing fish?
Oh, there's a lot of logistics with it, and, keeping everyone safe that time of year, too. The weather's usually not as nice.
Uh-huh.
But they're definitely very enjoyable, and it's a nice change of pace.
Yeah, I'll bet.
How many guys do you have up in gyros on a trip like that?
Same when we're fishing, there's four.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta find them, right? Like, that's still part of it.
Yep.
What's it like cooking for that clientele versus fishermen, Josh?
Their portions are smaller.
Their portions are smaller.
Yeah, they're
lots of toast.
Lots of toast. A lot of tea.
A lot of tea. Yeah.
A lot of
Vegemite.
Yeah. Don't say silverware. It's cutlery.
Oh, it's cutlery.
Yeah.
That's funny.
You know, just things that across the pond are different than what we do.
Yeah,
that's funny.
That's basically what it is. But they're very polite and they're very sweet, yeah. So it works out for the most part. But they love toast and they love tea.
They love toast and they love tea. Don't go through as much coffee, I guess.
No, not at all.
No,
we do.
All right. Cool.
All right, well, I had a great text. It says, good morning, guys. Another great show. Cap Mark, Cap Mike, and then also Josh, really enjoying it. Thanks for everything you guys do with Team Searcher and all the services you've provided. Went out with Mike and Josh and had a great opportunity. The guys didn't miss a beat. My question is regarding hooks. Recently, I noticed that my number two circle hooks had straightened out after I landed my third 40-pound bluefin. How does one know when it's time to swap out a hook? That's from Steve in Fairfield.
When it straightens out, I guess. Yeah.
It's a good question, though. Yeah. I mean, is a Gamakatsu hook that's chemically sharpened going to go dull? I mean, should you change it after a few fish? Or?
I think they're easy to lose it before they straighten out.
I mean, I think if you're using that stealth stuff, if you're using a number two or a number four, I would change it after every. I mean, maybe that's a little wasteful, but man, if you caught a 40 or a 50 pound fish, change it. It's just such a.
Especially that small a hook.
Yes, that's what I'm trying to say. If it's a big 20, 30 hook, by all means, tie it back on and catch another fish. But I mean, if it's a number two, like you're asking quite a bit from a small hook like that, and in the relation to what you spent on your trip and your time and everything else, that is a minuscule amount of money. I would be one and done if you're trying to use like stealthy small hooks like that. You know, like if you use it, especially if you got it out of the fish with a pair of duckbills or things like that. You know, I mean, I'm sure every scenario is different.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it would last all day, but the he said it bent out after his third one. Well, maybe the second fish it was deep in the jaw and he was pulling backwards, and when it was in there a little bit, and when you grabbed it with the duckbills, it, you know, you straightened it a little more, and that's what let it loose. Who knows? But when you're using small wire, small gauge hooks like that, I just think you're asking an awful lot of pretty skinny wire, and those Gamakatsu hooks are so strong. But man, I'm a one and done on small stuff like that.
Yeah, Art.
Yeah, and you know, that's a trend. You know, we do a tackle seminar on the way out, and you know, we're giving you hook sizes and line classes and that sort of thing, and if you're having trouble getting a bite, then we're always recommending that you go down in hook size. So the trend is definitely for smaller hooks in order to get bites. And like Rick says, you're putting a lot of pressure, you know, 40 or 50 pound fish on 60 pound or 40 pound line, and you know, maybe that fish is on for 15 or 20 minutes or even longer because of the line class that you have. So like Rick says, you're asking a lot out of that hook. So I would make sure I got a couple dozen hooks and change it periodically.
10 years ago, we never dreamed of talking about using a number two for a 50-pound tuna. It was never even the discussion. You wouldn't even send a guy on the boat with number twos. Like a 2-0 was the smallest hook that you would even think about using. And now, you know, you show a 2-0 to a guy, I don't know if I'm ever going to use a hook that big.
Yeah.
Like the trend has gotten smaller and smaller and smaller.
Yeah.
And fortunately, you know, manufacturers like Gamakatsu and, you know, their hooks and their wire is so strong that we're able to be on the rev limiter much more than we were before, and you're able to get it done. But you know, we never would think about catching a 50 pounder with a number two. Like it wasn't even in the discussion of things.
Those pegs at the tackle store with the 2-0 hooks are a lot fuller than the ones with the 2 hooks, right?
You hardly sell a 2-0 anymore.
Yeah.
You know, like it's everything has gotten smaller and smaller and smaller. caller. Yeah. But a lot comes with a 2-0. You know, I mean, you big barbs keep fish on the hook a whole lot easier. You can make a whole lot more mistakes with a big hook and still land your fish. You know, they don't pull as easy, and you can have slack line, and you can get more tangles and get out of tangles, and you know, big hooks can make up for a whole lot of angler error. And still,
bigger is better.
So no doubt. Yeah. As long as you can get a bite.
Yeah.
But you got to get a bite.
You got to get a bite.
And there's no doubt, like Gart said, it sure is. If you're struggling, dropping down that hook size is a whole lot better than dropping down in line size. So you're a lot better off that way. Hey, when we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way, including another full hour and finding out what's biting. We got the catch report coming your way. You stay tuned. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Many years ago, Baja pioneer Bob Van Wormer found the area he called the Great Fish Trap in the East Cape of Southern Baja and built what is now regarded as the premier East Cape resorts of Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Today, following in their father's footsteps, Bob's sons, Bobby, Chucky, and Eddie, have taken Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol to new levels with the largest sport fishing fleet in Mexico, a luxurious spa, and top-of-the-line resort amenities. Van Wormer resorts have become a destination for travelers worldwide. But for us, Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol are just a short 2-hour flight away. No other tropical fishing destination offers the experience and value that you'll find at Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Now you can plan your Baja fishing vacation quick and easy by visiting VanWormerResorts.com. And when you're ready to book, it's quick and easy. Or simply call 877-777-TUNA for more information. Van Wormer Resorts, the East Cape's finest.
Join us as we honor 76 years of Hall Family Shows at the Bart Hall Show, January 25th through 28th at the Long Beach Convention Center, presented by Progressive. Celebrate the passion of fishing, boating, hunting, international travel, off-road adventure, and the overland experience. Hundreds of seminars. Learn to trout fish the Eastern Sierras. Bass fishing legends from fresh and salt water will entertain you daily. Legendary anglers will celebrate our unique California offshore fleet from Point Conception to beyond the Mexican border. Learn to fly fish at the Fly Fishing Show within a show. Acres of boats, fishing boats, towboats, pontoon boats, inflatables, personal watercraft, and more. All under one roof. Make the deal of a lifetime. Enjoy the Mammoth Lakes Kids Fish Free Trout Pond, the Turner's Outdoorsman Ultimate Air Dogs, and the Convict Lake Great American Duck Races. Join CCA Cal for a special show package. Thanks to Accurate Fishing Tackle, Okuma, Bob Sands Fishing Tackle, Daiwa, and the Southern California Ford Dealers. The Bart Hall Show, January 25th through 28th at the Long Beach Convention Center. Details at hallshows.com. That's hallshows.com.
There are certain places on this earth that are very special, and I am blessed to have a fishing lodge in one of them. Hi, this is Valerie Hillbridge from Queen Charlotte Safaris in Sandspit, Haida-Gwaii, British Columbia, Canada. We are a boutique lodge embarking from the Sandspit Harbor, offering a truly unique fishing adventure from our fully enclosed cabin boats, untouched, unspoiled fishing grounds, stunning scenery, to the delicious meals, personalized service received throughout your entire trip. We strive to make your adventure an experience that encompasses world-class fishing for Chinook salmon, halibut, lingcod, and so much more. Our goal is to connect you to nature through fishing, and that's just what we do at Queen Charlotte Safaris. You will be greeted warmly and welcomed at our well-appointed lodge. We'll receive you as friends and send you off as part of the Queen Charlotte Safaris family for many years to come. You will come for the fishing. You will come back for the memories. Give us a call at 1-877-815-2892 or check us out on Instagram, Facebook, or on our website, qcsafaris.com.
This is Captain Tim Ekstrom from the long-range vessel Royal Star. With my partners Randy Toussaint and Brian Sims, we have set the bar for the long-range fishing experience. Spring 8-day, summer 5-day, or fly-down, fly-back 11-day winter trip, we deliver the highest quality long-range voyage you will find. From our premium RSW fish storage to our top-of-the-line chefs and crew, Royal Star distinguishes itself from all others. Want to grab a spot on the Royal Star? Check us out at RoyalStarSportFishing.com or call Tracy at 619-224-4764.
In San Diego, the future belongs to everyone. So Ford engineered the truck of the future for everyone. The Ford F-150. Available with a Pro Power onboard generator. What a great addition for anglers. There's also a variety of cab configurations for whatever you need to haul. The truck of the future isn't created for just a few. It's created for us who love the ocean and the outdoor life. Ford F-150. Test drive one at your local San Diego County Ford dealer today. They'll be glad to hook you up.